All right, everybody. Well, I think a couple people may continue to come on. We're never quite sure on these, but we're so grateful that you took the time to be with us this morning. I'm going to open us up in prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you for the incredible gift of prayer. Even as the rest of the ministry is gathering for our 9 a.m. revival prayer meeting this morning at the studio, Lord, as we've been so enjoying that time there, God, I ask that all that's been carved out, all that's been established, as we press into you this morning to dig into your word, to pray together, and most of all, God, to revere, honor, and give place to you. We invite you in your fullness into this Zoom event in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks everybody for joining us. Jonathan, welcome. Oh, you're connecting your audio now. Great. Good to see you all. I think some people usually continue to come in as we go. So I will try to, as always, keep my eye on the upper right-hand part of the screen so I can admit people as they come in. But thank you guys. We love these partner times. Whether it's a big group or a small group, we're always grateful to connect face-to-face and sort of continue to unpack a little bit our theme for the month, which, as you know, our mentoring theme for June has been Dying to Self. And I hope you guys are able to get and listen to the audios that Patricia and I send out each week. We actually really enjoy doing those. I know I do. I always look forward to when Shelley sends the reminder and we set the calendar for the themes near the end of the previous year. So we pray into it. And I'm always amazed how God arranges things. And the themes always seem to be so perfect for the seasons that we're finding ourselves in each month. And this month, the theme was Dying to Self. And I know when we hear that, we think, wow, that's pretty heavy, dying to self. Oh my goodness, that's pretty intense. And on the one hand, it is. But once we realize what we're really talking about is not like dying to yourself in the sense of who God made you to be or dying to any goals or dreams or aspirations. It's not that at all. It's about dying to sort of selfishness, dying to that old carnal nature, which is supposed to be dead and buried in Christ anyways. So really dying to self is one of the main ways that we learn to operate in dominion steward authority in the earth. And what I mean by that is, you know, we are here, and we talk about this so often, we are here to represent and represent God. That's our Genesis 1 verses 26 to 28 mandate. And I know we probably talk about this every month. It's one of my favorite things to focus the global church and our ministry on, and is that God has always wanted a people in the earth willing to be in relationship with him and who are willing to walk with him, learn from him, be mentored, discipled, tutored, teachered, rabbied by him. Adam and Eve had it in the garden. We now have it through Christ in the Holy Spirit. And since Genesis 1, since day 6, God's sovereign plan is in his complete, utter, and total sovereignty of being able to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, however he wants, is actually to work with a tribe of people, whether it's Adam and Eve, whether it was Israel, or now truly the New Testament tribe is us in Christ Jesus, grafted in to that tribe of Israel, but knowing Jesus Christ is Lord and Messiah, being restored to the fullness of relationship with our Heavenly Father and all of his kingdom here in the earth, but also being restored to that Genesis 1 verses 26 to 28 plan. We don't have to do it to earn anything from him. We actually experience more and more of all that he has given us through Christ and in this relationship as we embrace walking with him and talking with him and being discipled by him and being mentored by him, just as Adam and Eve were in the cool of the evening in the garden. We now do that through the gift of the Son and the power of in the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, where the overlap between heaven and earth is now us. It's not the Garden of Eden. It's us. It's not the tabernacle. It's not the Ark of the Covenant. It's us. We are now the Ark of the Covenant. We are the New Testament temple. We are the overlap between heaven and earth. Matthew 16 makes it very clear. Jesus teaches on this and says, when you understand who I am and you learn to listen to your heavenly Father instead of the report of the world or your flesh, this is the foundation that I build my church upon. And now you will loose from heaven what's been loosed in heaven and bind in the earth what's been bound by heaven. And you and I give you the keys to do this. You are the overlap between heaven and earth. So when we talk about dying to self, we're really talking about exercising dominion authority, exercising our authority in Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit, all to his glory, but to truly choose to live in the character, the nature, the presence, the power, the personality of God, not sublimating ourselves so that we are just robots, but in the fullness of who he knows us to be and created us to be and rebirthed us to be in Christ, walking in the fullness of that. One of my favorite examples of this is in John 20, starting in verse 19. And you've heard me share this illustration before, but I think it's so poignant and so perfect. When you, it says in John 20, 19, it says in different translations, but it basically all says the same thing, obviously, that the disciples were behind locked doors because they were afraid. So they were in an upper room behind locked doors. So they were literally and metaphorically locked up because they were afraid. Literally, they were behind locked doors. They had shut themselves in. They were hiding away. They had chosen to lock themselves in because they were afraid of what the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the high priest, the Sanhedrin high council, or perhaps the Romans would do to them, that they might be arrested, that they might be beaten, that they might be scourged, that they might go through what Jesus went through. So they are locked up literally behind closed doors. They've chosen to do that. But even more, they're locked up metaphorically, because everything Jesus has poured into them for 3.5 years, even him completely mapping this out. One of the clearest examples of this, again, Matthew 16, where they say, if you could just tell us clearly, and Jesus says, all right, here's what's going to happen. We're going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be seized and arrested. I'm going to be beaten and scourged. I'm going to be put on trial. I'm going to be tortured. I'm going to be found guilty, and I'm going to be executed, hung on a cross. And 3 days later, I will rise from the grave, and everything that we have talked about, you will step into, because all of hell and all of sin will be defeated at the cross. And even death itself will be defeated by the empty tomb in just 3 days. That's what we're stepping into. And you all know, Peter says something amazing. And I used to think, how the heck does he miss the last part? But now I really get it. When these crazy days that we're in, I get it. Where, you know what he says? He says, Lord, may none of this happen to you. He so hears those first things. He's so bound up in, oh my gosh, because we are going to Jerusalem. So what happens to you will probably happen to us. You're saying we're going to Jerusalem. You're getting arrested. I might get arrested. You're going to be beaten and scourged. I might be beaten and scourged. You're going to be found guilty. I might be found guilty. You're going to be executed. I might be executed. May none of this happen to you, Lord. He does not die to self. And I get it. That's a lot to take in, but he completely misses the point and the good news that, but 3 days later, I will rise from the grave. And I know it was a couple months ago, but I talked about how much I have fallen in love with the word but, B-U-T, in the Gospels. When there's all these things that are going on, and then there's but none of this can keep us from the love of God, but the city may be locked up tight like a drum, but the Lord says, I have given you the city. We may go through a difficult season of going through all this stuff that Jesus says he's about to step into and bring the disciples to, but 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. And that the empty tomb will declare the glory of God and the complete, utter, total victory. So they're not getting this. They are still locked up because of the current set of circumstances, even though Jesus mapped it out. They're behind locked doors, literally and metaphorically. Jesus's solution, step through the walls, step through the door, step through the locks, step into what they're experiencing. What does he say to you? Peace be unto you. Now, what we have to understand or I should say, what's very helpful to understand is that when Jesus says, peace be unto you, that word in the Greek is eirene. And I'm not sure I'm pronouncing it exactly correctly, but that's the Anglicanized version. Anglicanized spelling is E-I-R-E-N-A, eirene or eirene, something like that. And it means one of the ways it does mean peace, but one of the other ways it can be translated is the blessed state of a devout and upright man after death, or a devout and upright woman after death. So Jesus steps through all the walls they've placed around themselves and locks they've placed upon themselves, literally and metaphorically, and says, I am here to release a grace and peace to you so that you can hurry up and die to yourselves and come fully alive in me, so you can truly step into and walk in everything I've brought you into through all that I've done. He doesn't step through the walls and say, what the heck, man? What are you guys doing? Get out there and change the world. We've talked about this. He doesn't rebuke. He doesn't castigate. He doesn't shame. He doesn't chastise. He doesn't yell at them. He says, I am here to release eirene to you. I'm here to release an even greater grace to you to get past all this stuff, or metaphorically, die so that you can enter into the blessed state that I have for you, and die to the fear, die to the confusion, die to the anxiety, die to the frustration, die to the carnal response that you're having right now. Now, they don't get it. When you look at John 20, and I encourage you to go and take a look at John 20 from 19 through their encounter with the Lord, it doesn't really land the first time. So he says, here, take my hand, touch my hand, feel my hand, touch my side, feel my side. He puts on display the wounds he's taken for them. And then it says they have joy. Then it says they get it. So why did that do it? Because the scripture says the perfect love casts out all fear. So Jesus was saying, okay, I'm here to release the eirene to you. Okay, you're not catching it. You're not dying to yourself. You're freaking out. You still want to self-protect. You still want to be afraid, which again, self-protect, self. So he says, let me put on display what I've done for you so that you see there's nothing I wouldn't do and there's nothing I haven't done for you. And in that, you'll realize you're not even that good at taking care of yourself, defending yourself, protecting yourself, but I'm brilliant at it. I've actually done it all. And here's the proof. Feel the wounds that I've taken for you. Feel the price that I've paid for you. And they get it. And that's when now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, as the Father sent me, so I also send you. He breathes into them to receive the Holy Spirit, and they go out to change the world no matter what. Even when persecution increases, that creates the diaspora. Where the people of God are scattered all over the world. That just becomes outreach and evangelism. Why? Because they have learned to die to self. Now, this, my personal experience with this is it's not a one-time thing. My personal experience is this is not just something we say, okay, I received the eirene and I'm good to go. I have to die to myself sometimes many times a day. Sometimes in big ways, sometimes in little ways, but all dying to self really means is choosing to keep that old carnal nature that comes up as fear, anxiety, frustration, irritation, discouragement, despair, depression, anger, wanting to lash out, wanting to war against flesh and blood and the people who are causing all the problems, as opposed to warring against the powers and principalities that they're caught up in. And choosing to put our faith in God, choosing to put our hope in God. And here's the wonderful thing. You may be thinking, well, yeah, sure, but they had Jesus step through the walls and minister to them directly. We have something even more incredible, actually. And Jesus says so in John 16. He talks about what's coming, and it's even more incredible than that. We have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. Jesus came before them. Now he lives within us. And we can always turn to him and share our hearts and say, this is what I'm wrestling with, Lord. Show me why I'm afraid. Show me why I'm in fear. Show me why I'm locked up. Show me why I'm so discouraged right now. Show me, God. I know you're on the throne. Help me. Help me. And some days I'll just sit and by faith say, Lord, I receive your Irene. I receive your peace that passes all understanding. I receive your love that chases out all fear. I receive your greater grace to die to myself and come fully alive in you. This is what the victorious risen Lord is saying to the disciples in Acts 1. Many of the ones there were right there in John 20 when they received the Irene, right? So this isn't a one-time thing. And Jesus says to them, hey, because they say, all right, now that we get it, now that we see that you truly are the victorious risen Lord, now are you going to restore Israel and our kingdom? And he says, it's really not for you to know the timing. That's only for the Father to know. And actually, it's not even for me to know. It's only for the Father to know. That's Acts 1:6 and Acts 1:7. He says in Acts 1:8, though, something profound. But there's that but again. But despite all of these questions and concerns, the Holy Spirit will come upon you in power so that you can be great and mighty witnesses of me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria. Or as I like to translate it, you can be my great and mighty witnesses here, there, and everywhere. And we need to understand that word witness in the Greek is martos, which is where we get our English word martyr. So Jesus is actually saying, one of the main reasons Holy Spirit comes upon you in power, yes, it's to work miracles. Yes, it's to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, heal the sick. Yes, it's to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Yes, it's for signs and wonders. Yes, it's to testify of the reality of me and my kingdom here on the earth. But it's also realizing all of that begins with choosing to die to ourselves, choosing to die to fear. When the economy is going the wrong way, our nations are going the wrong way, we start to realize that our media is lying to us, our governments are lying to us, and we're frustrated, we're irritated, and we have to make sure we don't get locked up in that. Or if we catch ourselves that we have, or Holy Spirit highlights that we have, that we say, Holy Spirit, thank you that you're not only showing me where I've gotten locked up, but you are here in power to help me embrace you. Remember how loved I am. Remember that Jesus is on the throne. Remember that all that is happening is that everything shakeable is being shaken, which you said would happen. Help me be not like Peter, where when Jesus said, here's the shaking that are going to happen when we go to Jerusalem, but 3 days later, I will rise from the dead. Help me. And no guilt, no shame, condemnation. This is why Jesus gives us Holy Spirit as comforter and as power. Because many times over the last several years, I've had to come, whether it's all the COVID stuff and the tyranny and overreach of governments and health organizations, or it's the intense cancer battle we went through in my family last year, or even just the last several days, a very good friend of mine in the ICU who was on life support, who had flatlined for 40 minutes and wasn't responding, but praise God, we would go to Holy Spirit and say, help us die to ourselves. Help us stay in faith. Help us move in power. And yesterday I went to see my friend and he's sitting up completely responsive, zero brain damage after 40 minutes of flatline with no oxygen to the brain. Truly miraculous. His heart is strengthening. His lungs are fine. His kidneys are still strengthening. They need the most prayer right now. But considering what we've already seen God done through prayer, every day I would go and see him and I would talk to him like he was wide awake in the room, even though he was in that induced coma. Every day I would take the glory cloud that I know surrounded me because of something that God showed me a week and a half ago that I had no idea was going to be partially for this situation. And I'd release the glory into him and I'd declare the decrees that Jesus made of Lazarus before the tomb. And here we are several days later. Now, I'm going to tell you, there were days I went home and I was almost in shock because he was one of the fittest, strongest, healthiest guys I know. And he had this massive heart attack where the left side of his heart basically collapsed in on itself. And it's the type of heart attack is actually nicknamed. It's a category of heart attack and it's called the Widowmaker because the person is usually dead before they hit the ground. And he was basically dead for 40 minutes. And something God highlighted to us that gave us faith was very few rescue teams, as wonderful as they are and as hard as they work, very few of them will labor for 40 minutes. They'll call it after 10 or 15 minutes, and they didn't. So all of a sudden, we realize God's hand is already in this, and we're going to die to fear. We're going to die to anything. We're going to stay in faith, and we're going to pray, and we're going to contend. That's by the power of the Holy Spirit. And then from that, we look at these impossible situations in our nations, in our government, in a dear one's health, in our finances, in a relationship. And because we choose to die to self through the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the power of Irene, we then are able to stand in faith, and we can minister in the power of the Holy Spirit because we've chosen to take authority over ourselves. We operate in dominion authority over our mind, will, and emotions. And if you guys haven't read Winning the Battle for Your Mind, Will, and Emotions, I highly encourage you to get a copy of it, read it. It's incredibly prescient for this season, even though our ministry put it out about, what was it, 4 or 5 years ago, but I'm rereading it and getting so much out of it. It's funny how all of a sudden we're getting all these testimonies in of what the book is doing for people. And it's really this, it's really a great big revelation of how to take authority over the soul realm, to live in the victory and the more of God that we have, especially when we don't feel it, so that we can then minister from that and put the reality of God on display in the times and for the people that need it most, when times are darkest and most difficult, and when people are the most resistant to God and they need something that says, oh my gosh, God is real, to the point of where many of the nurses and the healthcare practitioners who were working so hard for my friend Jerry, day and night in the ICU. But you know, when we were coming in there and praying for him, it wasn't like we could see them rolling their eyes or dismissing us. They were never rude. They were wonderful. But we had worship music playing in his room. His wife Allison set that up. I should say she had worship music playing in his room 24/7. And even if these medical science practitioners, a couple of whom were believers and loved it, but some of them, I'm sure, were thinking, okay, this is kind of cute, I guess, but you know, just let us do our job. Now they have to say, because impossible things have happened. As many of you know, my wife's a doctor, and we went to see Jerry together Friday night. And because it happened last Thursday, and I was there Thursday. And anyway, she couldn't get there Thursday. She came with me Friday. And as I'm praying over Jerry, she's talking very nicely, talking to the nurses and finding out all the medical details that I wouldn't understand, but she does. And as we left after being with him for a while, she said, well, you know, some things are very, you know, very serious. And she said, this is what you need to target in prayer. But she also said, you know, honey, I just want to let you know that almost nobody comes back from this level of heart attack and 40 minutes of flatlining. We need God to show up, because in the natural, this doesn't usually happen. So keep praying, keep rallying prayer. So even the nurses and the doctors have to say, man, something happened. And I want to tell you, this is one of my very favorite people. By God's grace and by choosing to die to self, I stayed out of fear. I stayed out of frustration, like, God, why are so many wicked people prospering? And one of the best people I know is lying in a hospital bed, one of the best husbands, one of the best fathers, one of the very best friends I had to die to all that and just say, Lord, like you said, stop trying to figure out if the man's blind from his sin or his parents' sin, and just realize this is for the glory of the Lord. And you know, when you really, really are involved in something, when you really care about a friend, when you really care about a spouse, when you really care about a child, when you really care about a nation, we've got to put all that stuff aside that does not come from or serve the purposes of heaven in the earth, because we are here to express that. And if you need to die to self every week, so be it. Or if, like me, you need to do it a couple times a day, so be it. If you've got to do it every hour, so be it. And the other thing I really want to highlight for you, because I've lived this and learned this, when you realize you haven't died to self, and you catch yourself thinking, oh my gosh, I've been irritated, I've been frustrated, I've been afraid, I've been filled with fear, I've been filled with despair, I let myself go into that state. One of the most important things I can tell you is Romans 8:1. there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You're not condemned. The Holy Spirit is not there saying, you're failing. Holy Spirit is saying, I'm highlighting this to you because I'm here to help shift it. Will you help me? Will you partner with me? And usually the first thing I do is I start praising God. Even before I start taking authority, all that stuff, I do my thing that we've talked about before, where I make myself 10 times in a row say, praise the Lord, oh my soul and all that is within me. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And what I've learned, what God highlighted to me when we were writing Winning the Battle together, is that's actually us taking control of our soul. We are making our soul praise the Lord. And when we do that, we step into that dominion authority of choosing to die to self and come more fully alive in Him. And now all of a sudden, after doing that 10 times, it's almost like warming up the muscles. It's almost like stretching before exercising, right? Because then you step into, I take authority over fear in me. I take authority over that anger in me. I repent of giving place, a foot hold to the enemy through anger, and I command it to be cast down. I submit myself to you, glorious God. I resist the enemy and he must flee. So I declare that frustration must flee, that fear must flee, that discouragement must flee. In Jesus's name, I receive the love of the Father that casts out all that fear. In Jesus's name, I receive a fresh stirring of hope and faith and zeal and expectancy. To me, that's really what dying to self looks like. And then the fruit of dying to self, and let me pull this up real quick. And most people wouldn't think of it this way, but I really do. And this is sort of my checklist of if I'm in the place of Irene or not, and being fully alive in him, is 1 Corinthians 13 verses 4-7. And you're going to say, wait, that's the love chapter. It is, but let's read this real quickly. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Love does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own or its own way. Love is not provoked, and love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So why am I bringing that up in regards to dying to self? Because I want to circle back to where we started. What dying to self really is dying to that old carnal nature, because we are here to represent and represent our Heavenly Father. Jesus said it in John 14:1. If you have seen me, Philip, you have seen the Father. Ultimately, that's what we're here for, to put the reality of our Father in heaven on display. We're here to be loved. We're here to be blessed. We're here to be protected and provided for. We're here to know our good shepherd and have him lead us to quiet streams and green pastures. But ultimately, the reason we don't go home to heaven as soon as we get saved, because that's going to be way better, is we have work to do here, not toil, but work. In relationship, not for relationship. From relationship, not for relationship. We don't have to do it. We can say no to all of this. We can be the most selfish, carnal, gross, ugly people in the world, and God will still love us. And if Jesus Christ is our Savior and we still believe, I actually think we'll still go to heaven one day. But we have an opportunity to co-labor with God and step into that glorious plan since day 6, to go even deeper into him, grow even closer to him by walking with him in all that we're talking to. And God is love. So that's not only that's not only what he does, it's who he is. So when we read about the character and nature of love in 1 Corinthians 13, 4-7, we're actually seeing this is a checklist for us if we are living in God and expressing God. If I'm being patient, I've died to self. I'm expressing love by being patient in impatient producing situations, but I'm able to express God. If I'm impatient, I need to realize, oh, I need to die to myself right now. And that doesn't mean I can't hurry things along, but it means I need to express in God's character and nature while I do it. If I'm not being kind, if I'm being jealous, if I'm being competitive or envious or thinking somebody else has been blessed by God, what about me? I need to remember, wait, no, one of the keys is I want to rejoice in how God is blessing someone, because that's my portion too. He's actually putting on display what's mine. I want to be rejoicing in that. I want to give him thanks for how he's blessing somebody. as opposed to getting into a like Leif Hetland calls it, the orphan spirit of thinking, seriously, you're going to give him the fatted calf? I can't even get a goat, man. And the father says, no, no, no. Everything in my household is yours. And that's us realizing, wait a minute, I don't realize my portion. But we could go through all of that. That's the character and nature of God. That's the I am-ness, the is-ness of God is love. So when I go through those, I'm not fault finding with myself. I'm using it as a checklist of, oh, you know what? I kind of am demanding my own way. Like, I want my candidate to win or God can't be moving, as opposed to saying, all right, God, I don't really understand what's going on, but you're bigger than all of this. And show me how to pray for my nation. Show me how to pray for this current administration. Show me how to make decrees and declarations of ultimately, I want you to rule in my rule and reign in my nation much more than any man or woman. So that's really for me what dying to self is all about, and the reason it's so important. And when we realize it's about choosing love and choosing to express love, because love is the character and nature of God, and that is what we're here to express. Now it's not this religious performance, legalistic thing. Oh, I have to die to myself, die to myself, die to myself. Oh, 50 lashes on my back, die to myself. Now it becomes, no, wait, I want to express God, and I want to express God in more of his presence, more of his power, more of his personality, more of his fullness. That's to why I get passionate about dying to self, and why, bluntly, I get grossed out sometimes by myself when I look at myself and go, oh, I was totally in self there. And I go to my father knowing I'm not condemned, knowing that he's waiting to pull me into his lap, pour out his love on me, to drive out any fear that was causing me to self-protect or self-promote or self-strive or self-be selfish in any way. And he's never rejected me for when I failed. He's always encouraged me. And I think I've told you this, guys. I am a well-disciplined son because I'm a very loved son. And I appreciate the discipline of my Heavenly Father. Don't always enjoy it, but I actually appreciate it and ultimately love it, even though many times I don't enjoy it. And I have been taken to the woodshed a few times, and I believe I've told you all that even once I had a two-hour visitation of the fear of the Lord that messed me up for 3 weeks. It was intense. But I will also say this, 99 times out of 100, 999 times out of 1,000, 9,999 times out of 10,000, whatever the percentage would be, the way God tends to discipline me is when I come to him knowing there's an area I want to come up higher. He looks at it and he says, come on, son, we both know that's not who what you're really like. And I sit with him and say, Lord, that isn't what I'm really like. That isn't who I really am. Why did I respond that way? Help me understand and help me grow. And it becomes a very, very positive thing. So I want to take away this religious stigma of dying to self as this thing I must do. We can't even do it on our own. That's why he gives us his irene, and that's why Holy Spirit comes upon us to empower us to die to self, ultimately, so we express that authority and power in notable and remarkable ways even more fully. Because the first realm we steward and operate in miracle-working power over is us. And it's a miracle that in this world, we're able to die to self and express our invisible God in very, very visible ways. Amen? All right, let's hear from you guys. Any questions, any comments? If you've got prayer requests, we always like to make time to hear from you. Just raise your hand. We'll get you unmuted. Yes, Lynn, go ahead and unmute yourself. Hi, Lynn.
Hi. Hi. I'm from Zimbabwe, Africa.
Wonderful. Welcome. Are you in Zimbabwe now?
Yes.
Oh, fantastic. So great to have you with us. What time is it?
6:39, 7 in the evening.
In the evening. Okay, great. Well, it's wonderful to have you with us, Lynn.
Thank you. Just have a prayer request. My dad's been really going through acid reflux and an inflamed prostate. So just out there. I did get probiotics from the States, had them flown in, and yeah, he's still violently reacting to all that. So He's very religious. So yeah, so trying to keep the faith up, as you said, you know, just staying in faith and praising, and you know, just keeping the real thing, and just being focused. And that's what it, but you know, when it's close to the heart, and yeah, it tugs a bit there, and yeah, so trying
of course.
To yeah.
What's your dad's name, Lynn?
Norman.
Norman. Lord, we lift Norman up to you right now, and we thank you that you paid the price for acid reflux to bow. And we speak to that right now, and we command that acid reflux to bow. Any feedback from the stomach acids that's trying to work its way up the esophagus, or however it works, Lord, you know how it works. So my cursory understanding, Lord, my simple understanding is that stomach acid that's trying to work its way up the esophagus and cause damage to the esophagus or the throat or the heart, we break that assignment right now in Jesus's name. We apply the blood of Jesus Christ. We declare the victory of the cross, and we command acid reflux to go. We send it to the cross right now in Jesus's name. We honor Norman's faith. We honor Lynn's faith, and we add our faith to theirs. And I say, Lord, thank you that your glory cloud is surrounding Norman right now. And Lord, thank you that it's surrounding his stomach. It's surrounding his esophagus. It's surrounding his heart. And thank you, Lord, that the fullness of your goodness is repairing any acid damage, and also reversing anything in the valve that's broken, that's supposed to stay shut, that isn't. We command that valve right now in the glory of the Lord. We speak a creative miracle, and we say, valve, be healed. Valve, respond to the voice of your creator, your heavenly Father, through us as we represent and represent him. And we say, valve, be healed now. Any damage be repaired now, and acid reflux go in Jesus's mighty name. And Lord, we are expecting the good report. We are expecting the good report in Jesus's name, because you are a God who hears prayers, answers prayers. You are a God who has healed and bring forth the full manifestation of that healing. So we call Norman healed. We declare acid reflux defeated, and we speak creative miracles and total revival, reformation, and repair to any damage right now in Jesus's mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
And Lynn, please be sure to send an email to info@patriciaking.com when you get the good report. We're going to celebrate right alongside you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us. Anyone else? Joelle, did you have your hand raised? Yeah. Come on.
I always look forward to this meeting, Robert. It's
me
incredible.
Too.
When I can, I don't want to miss it. And tonight is not an exception. To bring clarification to what it means to die to self and to avoid the deception of the world. Tonight I need prayer for two things. I'm battling COVID at the moment.
Okay.
And in August, I'm going to start the second and final phase of my teacher training to be fully qualified. But I have been battling a repetitive attack. And recently I was awakened hearing familiar spirits stopping you from hearing from God. And immediately I spoke back and I said, no, I'm one of God's sheep. I hear God's voice and I follow him. I don't follow a stranger. So I heard about familiar spirits, but I'm noticing as well a cycle in my life. Since the Lord, in February 2018, the Lord clearly spoke to my heart and he said, the Lord God is opening the door. And just a few months later, I knew it was the door into education. Robert, I know 100% that God wants that mountain. I know that I have an assignment. You can't take this away from me. And God has been leading me step by step. And I have set my face like a flint, to be honest with you. So if you could join me in praying for me to be free from this COVID. And secondly, to continue to die to self. But I've been praying to God earnestly recently and asking him to give me wisdom to kind of employ kingdom principle in my classrooms. the ethos that would be different from other classrooms. And I know the Lord is going to give me this. I'm just looking for kind of a reinforcement into prayer or prayer of agreement. I have no doubt whatsoever. He has been giving me dreams after dreams about young people. Okay. And I just know that they are my primary target to literally snatch them out of the grip of the enemy, because it's incredible what they are caught up in.
Yeah.
And I'm aware that the battle will not be easy, but it will be easier as I lean on God, as I work in relationship or from relationship, like as we explained earlier. So yeah, that's all. I may come back to you repetitively with this, because
that's okay. No, yeah, you have shared so much of your journey with this call with us, even on these monthly partner Zooms, and we have been cheering you on and championing you all along the way. And I'm going to pray for you here. We're all going to pray for you here in a minute, Joelle, but I do want to share something with you first. And I want to encourage you and build you up. You are a champion, and you know it. You said it. And that's not, you weren't bragging. You were just declaring the truth that you, by the grace of God, have set your face like flint, and you have. And I want to remind you what a champion you are. I want to remind you how strong you have been in God and how strong you have allowed God to be in you. Because I would say probably with right alongside of media and government, that one of the enemy's greatest strongholds, and you know, is in education. And I personally think it's right up there with the stronghold in government and the stronghold in media. And I know the battles we have fought and continue to fight at every level in media. And I know people who are involved in government, and whether it's local government, state government, or national government, or even those who are involved in international things, like someone I know who serves in the European Union, or someone I know who serves in the United Nations. The level of warfare is intense. And this is why I'm telling you what you already know, because you are being seasoned along the way because you have set your face like flint. And as you were sharing, the encouragement that I was reminded of was when I always knew I was called to the nations. But when my very first thing on my own that I was sent out to do was something in Thailand. It was one of our Operation Extreme Love evangelism schools and miracle power schools, where we went out of the streets and went into the brothels. The very first one I led all by myself. I've been to the nations many times, but this was the first time I was a leader bringing others to the nations. I went into Bangkok about a week early, about 5 days before the event in Pattaya. And I decided to stay in Bangkok, just outside of the region, to pray and worship and pray into and decree into that week. After 2 days of that, I sent Patricia an email, and I don't even remember what I said. This was, 15 years ago. But it was basically me just saying, oh my gosh, this is so intense. I feel like I'm having my rear end handed me in the spirit. And I detailed everything that I was going through and saying, I'm decreeing, I'm taking communion, I'm worshiping, I'm praying, I'm in the word, and doesn't feel like it's working. I feel like I'm getting my rear end handed to me. This long email. I get back this note from her, and basically all it says, I don't remember it exactly, but basically it said, I'm so proud of you. You're doing everything you know is true and works. Keep at it. This is how you get seasoned for authority in your call. Don't give up. Because there was a part of me like, what do I do? Do I come home? What do I do? And it was this whole thing of, no, this is what it looks like to be seasoned. And honestly, what it looks like, my picture in the natural from being a little boy who was bullied, is I never stood up to the bullies. But basically in the spirit, what we've learned to do now is when the bully comes and knocks us down, and you know what? He does. We stand up, though, and not in our might, not in our power, but the power of the Holy Spirit. And we know that the Lion of the tribe of Judah and all of his angels are behind us. But we even, and Joelle, there were times my decree was, in the name of Jesus, I command these powers and principalities in Thailand to bow. It wasn't even like I had a lot of authority. But one time the Lord showed me a picture. Even if I squeaked out a meow in the spirit, behind me, the lion would roar. So I want to encourage you you are not failing. You are not getting beat up by all this. Is the battle real? Yes. Is it an intense? Yes. Are you imagining it? No. Are you exaggerating it? No. But you're doing everything you know to do, and the power and the authority and the spiritual muscles grow, not because all of a sudden we feel like I got this, but because we feel God has done this, and I'm not budging from that truth, no matter what. My big breakthrough came when the Lord asked me a question of different situation, but similar thing. He said, what if you don't even see what you're expecting to see, but you not budging from truth and to continuing to declare truth will break something open for the next generation to walk in the greatest move of God that's ever been seen? What if the greatest call upon your life, greater than the nations, greater than anything, is to believe my word and not budge from it? So I am given what I want in the next generation because you helped lay the foundation. And it took me a minute. And I had to die to myself and say, Lord, this isn't about me. This is about you. If that's my role, whew, you got to strengthen me, because I don't think I'm as tough as you think I am. But so I really want to encourage you that what can feel like a pushback or a setback isn't. You're growing in authority, because talk about dying to self. You're choosing to believe the word of God, even when it feels and looks like it's not working, because you know it is. You know the word of God never returns void. So, Lord, we honor Joelle. We honor her as one of your dread champions. That's something we've prayed over her many times, and we'll do it many times more, because we add our faith to hers. We cheer her on. We are in her cheering section. And as a ministry family, we are also ones who recognize a champion and champion champions. And we declare Joelle as a dread champion. And we thank you, Lord, that you have seen her this far and you will see her through to the end. And we ask you for pouring out a greater grace, greater grace, greater grace. And Lord, even as Elijah was given supernatural strength to outrace the chariots of Ahab, I am asking for fresh filling, fresh strength, fresh wind, fresh fire, fresh wine, fresh encounter, fresh zeal, fresh faith, fresh determination, all not by her might, not by her strength, but by you, glorious Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Come upon her in power, the power of encouragement. Come upon her in power, the power of God's faith. She's not been given just faith in God. She's been given the faith of God. And God knows who he is. God knows what he's done. God knows what he's won. God knows what he's given. Lord, I ask that you would open her eyes to see herself as you see her, whether it's a dream, whether it's in prayer, but you help her see how mighty she is in you, with you, and for you, and that she would have that encouragement to continue on fully. She set her face like flint. She set her hand to the plow, and she is not looking back. So we remind you that you promise to empower, that your eye is searching to and fro for a champion like Joelle, and you have one. So we thank you that you have not failed her. You will not fail her, that you strengthen her, that you encourage her, that you continue to equip and empower her in you, with you, and for you to achieve the fullness of this assignment. We declare all of those powers and principalities of hell and everyone of their satanic and Luciferian agendas in the sphere of influence that is education over every child at every level, we declare they are defeated in Jesus's name. We cover it all with the blood of Jesus Christ. We cover every one of Joelle's assignments that she's on, that she will have. We cover every child. We cover every young person. We cover every classroom. We cover every curriculum. We cover everything she is doing that she will be called to do with the blood of Jesus Christ. And we say, praise be to you, God, who is leading Joelle and all of those children, all of those young people, and the sphere of education itself into victory in Christ Jesus. Amen. And Lord, now we speak to her body and we command this illegal trespasser of COVID to relinquish its grip on her. We break its grip. We speak to every hook, every talon, every nail, every tooth, every claw, every bit of the enemy that has tried to grab hold of her with this assignment of COVID. We break your grip in Jesus' name. We shatter your teeth in Jesus' name. We declare you are defeated. Everywhere the enemy has come to steal, kill, devour, and destroy, anywhere it's come against Joelle's lungs, anywhere it's come against her blood or blood cells, anywhere it's come against her brain or brain fog, anywhere it's come against her energy, we break those things off. We declare the thief has been caught. He must pay back sevenfold. And we declare now the abundance of goodness and life and health and vigor and vitality in Jesus' name. We command every spike protein that is formed because of this virus or the vaccine that we believe the best. Love believes the best. So we thank you that if the vaccine has been taken, we bless every good thing about it and bind and curse any negative side effect in Jesus' mighty name. And we command every one of those spike proteins to dissolve now in Jesus' name. Any misshaped red blood cell because of those spike proteins, we command them to reform in perfect shape and perfect function right now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we bless your daughter, Joelle. We bless our sister. We bless our friend. We bless your champion. We bless your warrior with health and life and strength and vigor and vitality and every effect and side effect of COVID-19 and even medications that have been taken to fight it. We cover it all with the blood of Jesus. We accelerate the healing properties of every good thing that has been done by the medical community and by you directly and your angels. And we bind every negative side effect and break them off of her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so very much.
Amen, amen. Yes, Sigrid.
I had a stroke 1.5 months ago, and I am experiencing some of the weakness that I personally saw you go through. I sometimes saw you hanging in front of the, you know, and so I am back. I got my speech back and everything. And so I'm fine. The Lord has raised me back up, literally. But I'm not getting my emotional and physical strength back. And I sometimes even remember seeing you. And I kept saying, you brought Robert through, you're going to bring me through. You know, I just used you as a example of what God is able to do and will do. So I just want prayer for that.
Absolutely.
I don't want to be coming back to the person that I was before. I was in the fast lane. I was doing a lot of good for God.
Yes.
But now, do you remember how you prayed for me in our meeting to become the intercessor, Reese Howell, the intercessor?
Yes, I do. Yes. I don't remember specifically, but I remember that we did pray about that. Yes.
And I got the book, and the Lord is bringing me into this. So I'm working now out of him, out of his rest.
Right on. But
it's still, so I'm not the person that I was, and I never want to become that. And it was the Lord, you know,
he used me,
but I don't know exactly what I'm going to be, but the weakness is still bothering me.
Okay.
So I wanted to praise and remind me of some of the things that you did.
Amen.
I tried to bring everything up. What did Robert do?
I don't know. I don't know because it was all God. You know, one of the things I want to encourage you in is this is I absolutely want to pray for you. There was a prophetic word spoken over me years ago by someone that I've seen a bit of, but even with my friend Jerry, very similar, even though he didn't have a stroke, some of the effects would be stroke-like. And there was a word spoken over me in our ministry that we'd be able to deal with every side effect of strokes and see them bow. So Lord, I remind you of your prophetic word as we lift our dear friend and sister Sigrid up to you right now. And Lord, I command every single side effect of this stroke right now to bow and go. Anywhere the nerves or the muscles have not fully recovered, we break the effects of the stroke off of the nerves and muscles, and we command perfect and proper functioning, and even better than before the stroke happened. Because God, you not only restore, you restore to better. When you saved us, when you raised us up in you, you didn't raise us up to a better version of who we were. You raised us up to a true version of who you made us to be. So we speak to Sigrid's brain. We yes. speak to her nerves. We speak to her blood vessels. We speak to her muscles. And we say, you are loved. You are loved by the creator who created you. And respond to his voice through us in our prayers, because we are here to represent him. Respond to his love that we are overflowing with for our dear sister as a mere shadow of the love of the Father that overflows for her. And we say, nerves, be completely healed and restored. Synapses, completely healed and restored. What is impossible in the natural is easy for our supernatural God. Nerves, right now, we release the fire of God's love upon you to work creative miracles and be completely repaired. Synapses completely repaired. Muscles be strengthened. Blood and blood flow be strengthened. Brain, any lingering effects from the stroke. Right now, I just see the hand of God himself coming in and gently and lovingly stroking Sigrid's head. And then with every stroke, the brain being completely healed, completely restored in Jesus's name. Lord, we bless this journey that you have her on, and we bless and add our faith to her faith as we bless her faith that her best days are ahead of her. Her greatest kingdom impact is ahead of her. And Lord, that you are going to do in her and through her things she's imagined, but things she's not even yet seen. And we say, not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that one of the things you are doing in her and for her is you are quickening her mortal body according to the promise of God's word. And we say the truth of, what is it? Romans 8:11, that the very same spirit that dwells within Ingrid, that raised Jesus from the grave, dwells within Ingrid and is quickening her mortal body. And we say again, brain be quickened, nerves and synapses be quickened, muscles be quickened, arteries and blood flow be quickened, be healed, be restored, be strengthened. In Jesus's name, amen.
I have two things. When I saw the photo of the brain, there were two holes that were, you know, like they had no brains in there. And the doctor says they will never grow again. And I just want to believe that amen. They will fill in by the Lord.
Amen. Create a miracle in Jesus's name.
My blood pressure is very high, and they have not figured out how to bring it down, and I don't want to take the very bad medicines for it.
Right, right. So Lord, we speak to the blood pressure and we command it to normalize right now.
That's right.
Lord, we break every assignment of pressure off, and we say blood pressure be normalized. Any stresses in the natural, and especially those in the spirit, we command them to bow to the peace that passes all understanding, the shalom, the irene, the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, anything structurally or any plaque buildup, or I don't even know how this all works, Lord, but anything in the natural that would be causing increased blood pressure, right now, we declare the fullness of your supernatural goodness to bring it into alignment in Jesus's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, guys. Well, that we're past 10 o'clock, but we can do one more, and then I apologize. Usually I'm able to linger. Today I've got a bit of a crazy schedule, but Patricia, let's go to you. And then Laura and Lexi, we see your fan. Wave at me if there's something you need, and we'll try to fit everybody in.
Yeah. When you were praying for Joelle, I had a picture of her in the classroom. Sorry, I get choked up because education is so important now. Doors were opening for people, for students. There are going to be specific students God's chosen that he's going to open the door, and it will lead them to renewing their mind from the brainwashing they've had from the media. And I feel that she's going to be the door opener for them. Anyway, that was what I had, but I have a Hebrew lesson on a Wednesday, and I promise faithfully. My teacher lives in Haifa. You've prayed for her before, Nurit. And she's having to live with her brother at the moment. It's desperate for her own place. She wants, I said, I'm going to get the Church of Phoenix to pray for you. And all I said, I promise you that we're going to pray for a new place for you, new okay. build and for you. And I've made that promise. And
all right, great. Let's do it. Quickly. And Patricia, I'm so sorry to rush yeah. you just a little bit. I just want to make sure we get this in before I have to go. So yeah. just to clarify, Nuit is her name. And Nuit, we're going to pray for yeah. a new place for her to live. And she would love it to be a new build. Is that right?
Yeah, because she's a divorcee for a long time, and her last experience has been so awful. And Israeli flats can be really dirty.
I'm trying to keep us focused on what yeah, we're going to pray for, just so really we can get dirty, it in.
So she needs a new build.
Okay, all right, great. Yeah. Let's do it. And Lord, we want to thank you for how much you love Nuit. And God, I ask that even in this, she would experience so much of the goodness of her Messiah, Jesus Christ. Lord, we wrap Nuit in favor. And we declare, Lord, that you are so good at opening doors in the spirit and in the natural. And we call forth a new door for you to open that will bring her in to the new place you have for her. Lord, her heart's desire is that it be a new build. And we say, Lord, bring forth your perfect plan, your perfect place for her new build, or maybe something that isn't a new build, but is even better than that. God, you know. But we thank you that you have a place for her. When you were in the earth, you went without a home. You went without a nest. You went without a regular place to lay your head other than in your heavenly Father, so that we could have a place that is home. And of course, you are our home, but in you, our home, our Sabbath, you make place for us. And as we delight in you, you give us the delights of our heart, and Nuit's delight and need, Father, is a place of our own. And we put our faith in league with Patricia's and add it to Nuit's to see you move in this way and bring her in to her new place. In Jesus's name, amen.
And Jesus, reveal yourself to her, renew amen. Her mind on what they've taught them in Israel.
Yes. Oh. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Patricia. And sorry we had to rush a little bit. I'm
no,
so sorry.
I promised her I'd say it, so I had to say it.
I'm so glad you did. Laura or Lexi, anything? I've got 9 minutes.
Hi. I just moved to Washington, D.C., and I've been overcoming fear, and I know that it's because the enemy is really afraid of me, but I want to ask for agreement prayer that I would stay in God's love.
Mm. Amen. Well, I know you know this, so I'm going to start by declaring this over you, Laura. Nothing anywhere ever can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we know that she will stay in your love because your love remains. Your love for her remains. Lord, what we're asking is for a great grace to know and experience your love. God, we pray over Laura what Paul prayed over those in his churches that he mentored and fathered and led. And we here at Patricia King Ministries love Laura with an everlasting love, even as you do. And Lord, we say to our sister, to our friend, to our family member, Lord, we declare over her as leaders of this church family, what Paul prayed, that Laura will be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, that she will know the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of your love. I ask, Lord, that by your great grace, her roots will go down deeper and deeper and deeper into your everlasting love that is certain, that is true, that is never wavering, that is always there, that is always plentiful and always powerful. And as her roots go down deeper and deeper and deeper into your love, she would be nourished and nutritioned by that. Her faith would be nourished and strengthened. Her hope would be nourished and strengthened. The authority and power she has in you would be nourished and strengthened. And every fear will bow because the love of the Father is perfect and casts out all fear. And Lord, even more, then knowing the fullness, the height, the width, the depth, and the breadth of your love, she would experience it, because it's impossible to truly know and understand the fullness of your love. But may she experience it. May she be overwhelmed with it at times, strengthened with it at times, nurtured and nourished with it at times to an overwhelming degree. And maybe may she be filled with all the life and power that is in that love that flows out of heaven to fill her all in all, body, soul, spirit, past, present, future, fill her to overflowing with your love. Any trauma that the soul is experienced or the physical body is experienced, we thank you that your love right now, your dunamis power right now, is pouring out on her and bringing healing and removing every effect of any trauma in Jesus's name. And as she continues to press into you, you will continue to press on and press through for her. For she has not been given a spirit of fear. We reject that spirit on her behalf. We command that spirit to bow as she submits herself to you in the truth of your everlasting love. We declare all fear must go. So we command that fear to flee as she submits to your truth right now and you minister your love to her. And Lord, we declare she's not been given a spirit of fear, but one of love. That love is pouring out on her, one of power. She will have the ability and the power to submit to you, to know your love, to believe and trust and have faith in your love when she feels it, when she doesn't feel it, to know it's there. And Lord, also she has been given in you and by you a spirit of self-control. Holy Spirit, empower her to take control of herself, to take control of her soul and submit to, stand on, declare, decree, and agree with the eternal truth that she is loved with an everlasting love by her heavenly Father. And that love casts out all fear in Jesus's mighty name. Amen. Let wave after wave after wave after wave after wave of your love cascade upon the shores of her heart, going deeper and deeper and deeper. May she experience the high tide of your love again and again and again until every anxiety and fear or concern is utterly and totally washed away. And she understands that the cherished bride, the beloved daughter, and the powerful witness that she is for you in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit to the glory of the Father. Amen.
Yeah. I received that.
Robert, I wanted to know how your wife is doing and how Patricia's husband is doing. Could you just
Great Sigrid, let me just jump to Lexi real quick to give her a chance, because we've only got a couple minutes left. Lexi, what do you have anything we can pray for you? No? Okay, great. Thanks so much for being with us. It's always great to have you with us. Sigrid, Uri is doing quite well. A couple little things that still have to be overcome, but nothing compared to what's already been overcome. Ron is continuing to overcome Parkinson's, but we've actually seen a real rally for him. And even for me, the last month, the last two times I've been with him, the last couple weeks, it really has been an improvement. With strength, with clarity, with focus, still a battle to overcome, but compared to where he was like 6 months ago, again, truly miraculous. God is really moving, and we're going to celebrate every little victory along the way.
Because he comes to my mind and I pray for them.
Oh, good.
But I don't hear. So I just thought.
You're having an impact, my friend. You're having an impact. Thank you for your prayers.
Thank you. So what is it that your wife still has to let down? So the cancer is not there, huh?
Yeah, it's a little too much to go into with just a couple minutes left, Sigrid. But it's more than anything, it's just there's a couple little things that we need to see shift and change. But she's doing great, which is wonderful. Lord, I want to thank you for this incredible family. And that even here at the end, we're asking about one another, showing love and concern for one another and how we pray for one another. Truly, this is a gift, Father. And Lord, I'm so sorry that we even have to cut it short today. Or I know 15 minutes long isn't cutting it short, but I so love when we get to spend time together and hear from one another. And Lord, I ask that you would continue for all of us and all of our Patricia King Ministries family around the world, continue to knit us together, heart to heart, in you, with you, and for you, Lord. I bless this family. I cherish this family. I know Patricia loves and adores every single one of our partners and sends her love and her blessings. And Lord, I thank you for all that we get to do together, in you, with you, and for you. And God, the scriptures I've been praying over the partners this month are that you will lead them all into victory in Christ Jesus. So Lord, no matter what's going on in any area of their lives or any area of the world, we say, but thanks be to God who leads them in triumph in Christ Jesus. So we call forth the triumph and we call forth the spoils of the victory in Jesus's mighty, mighty name. And Lord, we also declare Philippians 4:19 that you meet all their needs according to your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. So I call every financial need, every emotional need, every physical need, every favor need, every intimacy with you need, every faith need, every provisional need, every single need, every need in a relationship, God, we call them all met, fulfilled, poured out upon in your riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And we give you glory, honor, and praise, Father. And I'll end with this. God loves you all with an everlasting love. He really, really does. And so do we. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for taking time this month to jump on the Zoom call. Sorry that I got to run at 10:15, but I love the time we got together. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless you.
Bye-bye, guys.